All right. Welcome everyone to the Verifiable Credentials API call. This is May 17th, 2022. The agenda in here. On our agenda today, we've got this agenda review, introductions, relevant community updates. And then we're going to jump into issues. We're going to talk about scopes and RARs and support for those things in our OAS files. There's a question on whether or not we should close an issue. I went to close pending issues, and then I wasn't clear if we should close an issue. So we're going to talk a bit about that, talk about linting CI/CD. What happens when you delete a revocable credential and any other issues. We also need to cover, two pull requests that have been out there for a bit. Mike Varley, one of them is to nudge your PR forward. It seems like you've responded to everyone and it's ready to merge. And so we just need to see if there are any objections to merge. And, there's of course the mermaid diagrams, that need to be merged as well. That's it for the agenda. Are there any updates or additions, to the agenda? All right. So let's, go on to introductions and announcements. Is anyone new on the call today? Anyone want to give a update on how they're doing, their new job, old job, anything like that? Anyone want to give an intro or a re-intro? I think it's the regular crew here, so we all know each other. Announcements, reminders. Please go ahead and put yourself on the queue for that. I've got a couple of announcements. This is mostly, I'm sure some of you were on the call earlier today, the main weekly call. There is a new proposed charter for an RDF dataset and canonicalization working group. I'm putting the link in chat now. This is so that we can canonicalize data before we sign it in verifiable credentials. Primarily, this work is around linked data and RDF dataset canonicalization. The proposed charter is linked to in that link I sent. If you are a W3C member or you know a W3C member, you might want to urge them to vote on that charter. Marcus, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
Yes, so when you announced this to the list, I responded, and I also want to quickly respond here and echo what you said to make everyone aware of that charter. And if you're a W3C member, then please vote on that. I think it's funny. A lot of people are probably not aware of the fact that this part of the stack hasn't actually been standardized yet. A lot of us maybe take that for granted, the fact that we can canonicalize and hash RDF data and then attach proofs. But we need to standardize it because a lot of things depend on that. So please have a look. I find one part of the charter very interesting, which says that the verifiable credential charter, right, that's also available right now, and that says that the work on securing linked data is primarily intended for verifiable credentials, but may also be used for other data, and the same is true here for the canonicalization and hashing, so let's not underestimate the importance of this and give it some attention.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Marcus. And some of you might not know, but Marcus is one of our fearless leaders in that group. Marcus, you're one of the co-chairs along with Phil Archer from GS1, which is wonderful. And I know that you and Phil are going to do a fantastic job navigating that group through the standardization waters. It's always an adventure. The other announcement, of course, is that the verifiable credentials to a working group charter is out there for a vote as well. Please go and vote on that if you are a W3C member, and if you know a W3C member, make sure to poke them to make sure that they vote. And I think Brent Sundell, our other fearless leader, who has been leading that group for a long time as chair, is here. Brent, I don't know if you have any words you want to share about that charter or the work.
No, thank you for advertising us. We appreciate all the support we've gotten so far. Folks who haven't jumped in, the more overwhelming the support, the better. I think we have at this point, you know, the minimum number of approvals that we would need. But the more we can get, the better. So please check it out and vote.
Awesome. Thank you, Brent. Marcus, you're back on the queue.
Yeah, just also wanted to mention about 2 weeks from now, there will be a W3C workshop on data spaces and semantic interoperability here in Vienna. We don't have a slot on the agenda because we didn't, I think, apply in time, but both Phil Archer and myself, we will be there and, of course, connect with the other participants and try to get some feedback and input on the work that we have with RDF data canonicalization and hash and also verifiable credentials. We can, after that, report back to the group.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Marcus. I had no idea that was in Vienna or that it was going on. All right. The only other announcement right now is that a couple of weeks ago, we announced a number of test suites around the verifiable credentials API and crypto suites and all that kind of stuff. There were VC API issuer verifier test suites. There were test suites for the Edwards Signature 2020 crypto suite announced. And here we are 3 weeks later. We've got a demonstration of at least two independent vendor implementations passing those preliminary test suites. I'll put the link to that mail here. The reason this particular thing's of relevance is that one of the things that we have to do for the verifiable credentials to a working group is to produce a test suite and get enough implementations for some of the work items. And you know, usually the minimum bar is two independent implementations. The good news here is that we have a test suite and we have demonstrated that there are two interoperable implementations today. Surely these test suites are going to change when the group meets. They will be refined. They will become more rigorous. But the fact that we're going into the working group with test suites and two interoperable implementations is a really good sign. So thank you a ton to Marcus and Danube Tech for being one of the organizations to test. DigitalBazaar is the other one right now, and we've got cross-vendor interop going between both of our companies. And we have, I think I know of at least four other companies that are actively implementing to the test suite right now. So we should be in pretty good shape from a crypto suite standpoint for the VC2 working group. The announcement I did not get around to making today was that we have the same thing for issue and verify. So the hope here is that these are cross-industry test suites. The traceability folks have been doing a great job of interoping between each other using the VC API for many months now, which is great. The test suites that we're talking about here are slightly different in that they're a little more generic. They're not super focused on traceability. They're more generalized VC API tests and more modular in that fashion. So that's good news. You know, it's, this is good. You know, all the hard work that people have been doing, for a long time now is starting to kind of, bear fruit. Any other updates, announcements, anything of that nature? All right. Let's get into the agenda then. The first item up, has been on our agenda for multiple weeks now. It is support for scopes and RARs, in the OAS 3.0 files. We haven't talked about this in a while, so we're going to come back and talk about it. Let me go ahead and share my screen. And I have not even looked at this in a while. So I guess Ori raised this. Mike, it's assigned to you. Mike, I hate to put you on the spot. Would you be able to talk about this? Otherwise, I can.
Yeah, I think I can talk a little bit about it. It's around how we wanted to manage scopes in the API. And there was the gist there, shows where Ori is suggesting using, I think, structured scopes. So there's kind of a structure within the string, a server would have to parse. And we'd have to come up with some plan, like, is it, you know, colon or dash or whatever. The point is that there is a structured scope string. And then the suggestion from Justin was that there's a better way, called RAR, and I see Justin's on the call, so I'll let him jump in on explaining sort of how RAR works. But it's a structured setup for your scopes that allows, a location, the permissions associated with that scope. And then it looks like there's a data type field there as well. So it's a really flexible and structured way. So which seems kind of like opposites, but they're, you know, in this way, you can get a lot of flexibility out of your structured scopes. And it's something that's, got a spec to it, and it's portable across, other implementations. So you may get library support and all these other benefits. I believe the pushback was that the tooling, that we're using, for defining the API, does not support RAR. And so that would be a challenge to, get the spec, the swagger that we're using to specify it properly. Sort of two points there. I think Justin has actually gone and engaged with the, OpenAPI group, to involve some of those capabilities within the spec. So there's some activity there. If the group feels that, you know, structured scopes are the right thing to do, then we shouldn't necessarily let our tooling define a proper spec. But we do have the limitation where we would like to use OpenAPI, for various good reasons, including test suites and API generation and Postman scripts and so on and so on. So I think it's still open for discussion, about what this group would like to do. I am in favor of the RAR approach, but I recognize the tooling issue. And with that, I think, Justin, if you're able to jump on and, I think describing the benefits of RAR, you did a presentation, I'm going to say over 6 months ago, but that's only because my memory isn't very good, but it was a while ago. You did a presentation on RAR structures. So maybe just if there's a summary of that as to the benefits, then maybe we could kick off from there.
Yeah, sure. Mike covered most of it, and, basically, RAR was invented because several people in the past, myself included, developed specifications that required structured scopes. And it's one of those things that seems like a great idea on paper until you actually need to deploy it and use it, especially across an API over time as you discover new and different things that you want to do with that API. and you find your structures lacking and adding new syntax and new dimensions and all of this other stuff that I'm sure people will swear to me up and down that, no, that's not going to happen here because this time is different. Well, it's not. I'm sorry. It's just not. This is what has happened every single time I've seen this invented. And what we're trying to do with RAR is create an actual multidimensional structure for describing exactly this kind of thing. And so, the tooling is not, available for RAR yet. Mike mentioned and linked to issues where I'm starting to engage with the OpenAPI specification security subgroup about that. I encourage people to go read those strawman proposals and comment on them and see if that even makes sense. But quite frankly, as I demonstrated in a previous call to this group, the tooling, I'm sorry, ball two, I'm not sure where that came from. Thanks, Transcriberbot. Anyway, as I demonstrated on a previous call, the tooling can in fact be adapted in pretty much any way that we need to describe what it is in the resultant spec, because the output of this group is not the OAS spec, it's the respec document that fully describes the API and all of its pieces. So, like, any additional tooling that's needed for processing that kind of stuff in that type of pluggable system, I think is a reasonable reach for this group, but that's me. I'm not the one who has to write the tooling. Regardless, structured scopes, I can say definitively, are not a good idea. They feel like a good idea. You may have convinced yourself that they're a good idea. My many years of experience and several versions of inventing these in the past dictates otherwise.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Mike, you're up.
Sure. Thank you. I would also like to consider how scopes, structured or otherwise, are seen to be used with our exchanges endpoint, which is kind of an extension piece. So, you know, we have the exchanges endpoint, which enables a variety of functionality with credentials and how credentials can be obtained. So I don't know if we need nuanced scopes in order to support the exchanges API, that being if there's an API or sorry, an access token for one exchange, is it scoped for exactly one exchange or is it just kind of a access token which could be used against many? Anyhow, for those implementing the exchanges currently, it'd be interesting to hear your perspective on how you want to control access to those exchanges or if there's another mechanism.
All right, good questions, Mike. I put myself on the queue. Let's see. So I think, we're in a position where we could do, I don't think anyone here thinks doing all of these things is a good idea. But at the same time, I think each one of these ideas might need time to breathe. And, I don't think it would harm anything to start defining, for those that want to do these things, I think the group would, look at PRs and pull PRs in that enabled different ways of doing authorization to the API. So today what we have is we have people using OAuth 2. DigiBazaar's implementation uses Zcaps, and we support some level of OAuth 2. I think we should also, you know, enable the RAR stuff to happen. I agree with Justin. The tooling stuff is not a good reason to say we can't do it. In fact, I don't imagine the tooling is going to be that hard to do. Justin asked the question, you know, does OS 3 support ZCAPs? It doesn't. We just implemented it in the tests. We enabled the test suite to test implementations that have ZCAP. So, Justin, I think the ZCAP stuff is in the same boat that the RAR stuff is in, which is that the OAS stuff doesn't support it. So I think we can enable it in the test suite. I don't see any reason why we can't do that. And so it's just a matter of, you know, people putting in the time to do that work. So the concrete proposal on this item is that we are entertaining PRs for any of these things. You know, I think Justin's right. The whole structured scope stuff is it's severely problematic. That's one of the reasons that we're not happy with, you know, the OAuth 2 stuff. But the fact of the matter is there are a lot of implementers that are doing it anyway. And so do we provide any kind of guidance to them, or is it a Wild West, right? Anyway, I guess all this to say that the concrete proposal is, we are accepting PRs, for, supporting all these different authorization mechanisms, certainly in the test suites, because that's just work that people can do. And if people don't want to implement, you know, a particular type of authorization, they don't have to. You know, let's try to see how people think we should integrate this into the spec. So we're accepting PRs. Would there be any thoughts, concerns about that approach? Mike, you're on the queue.
Was Justin first, or was it myself?
I looked at the queue and you were there for a question on ZCAPs.
Okay, I'll ask my question and then Justin maybe can follow up. The question on ZCAPs was just if you could provide maybe a 30-second view on how the client obtains the original, you know, the ZCAPs object, and then how that delegation may work. Only because I'm familiar with ZCAPs as a data structure, but not the messaging on how to, you know, get one or get a particular capabilities that's scoped more narrowly. So if there is a 30-second kind of overview about how that happens, that'd be great, because it might help drive the RAR associated work. Thank you.
I am afraid, Mike, that I would say the wrong thing. I would rather have our implementers on the call so they can say how it happens today. I have not.
We can defer it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. No problem.
I can take a guess, but it's probably going to be wrong.
No problem. Let's defer it.
Okay. Justin, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to note to the group, just so that everybody knows, I'm pasting in an IETF data tracker link for the RAR specification. It is in the state publication requested, which in layman's terms means that it is out of the working group and into sort of the higher areas of the IETF, where sort of the wider review is happening right now. And it is, this is kind of one of the final stages before publication for RFC. The IETF process is complicated with many layers, but this is second or third to the end. It's very close.
All right. Thanks. I guess I'll just take that out a quick. Thanks for that, Justin. Okay. So, are there any objections for us basically saying we're looking for pull requests on, scopes, RARs, ZCAPs, any of that stuff? And then we'll review as a group once those come in. All right, there we go. We'll put it as ready for PR. And that is that item. My apologies, Mike. I totally forgot about processing pull requests. So let's do yours next. Yours is the initial PR for Exchange Discovery. If you would like to give us, actually, please give us some background on this PR and its current state.
Yep, absolutely. So, when we were defining the exchanges capability of the API, where the API was able to support, workflows for obtaining credentials and verifying credentials, it was noted that it may be the case where some of those exchanges, have protocol rules like, username and password has to be handed in, or some other authentication token has to be handed in at the time that the exchange endpoint is accessed. And then at which point, the VPR data structure might specify what the protocol is to obtain the credential. And an example is credential refresh, 2020 or 2021. So the trouble there is that, as a client application calling an exchange endpoint, I likely need some information before I call the endpoint to know what I'm supposed to be doing in order to be successful. And with that in mind, we spec'd out an exchange's discovery endpoint. So you would make a call to the just top of the exchange's tree, a get call, and you would receive a list of the endpoints available and then the associated protocols, just as a string value or a URI that was implemented on those exchange endpoints. And the assumption is that if the client understood what that string meant, then it would be able to communicate with the endpoint. And if not, then it can throw an error right away, saying, sorry, I unsupported, to the, you know, person using the API or to the other system using the API as a client. And then there was a request to enhance the API, for pagination, and some other, you know, structured issues which have been addressed. I believe the open question now. So I believe the PR has addressed all the immediate issues requested. However, there may be some discussion around whether discovery is even necessary or if the structure of the VPR, protocol, supported by this API sort of has enough built in that discovery is redundant and no one would use it. So it's more that second question that I put to the group. Do we still think discovery is necessary? Do we want to support more than just VPR, or can we achieve everything just with the VPR spec language? And finally, if there is no answer to that second question today, now, or discussion, we can always accept the PR. And then if we find later that discovery is not necessary, we could remove it, because it's fairly independent of the rest of the API. It's just an endpoint which returns a list of endpoints and protocols. So if we decide it's useless, then maybe we could remove it. But that's the current state. The PR itself is probably ready to go. There's sort of an open discussion as to whether we still want discovery.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Mike. My read on the PR is that Mike has answered all the questions, all the requests in the group have been answered. And yes, there's an open question on whether or not discovery is needed or not. The DigiBazaar doesn't use discovery for the exchange endpoints, but it is very possible that we're just not seeing the same use cases that Avast is seeing. And, you know, plus one to merging. I mean, you know, we're still in an experimental state in the API. Let's define this and see if people find it useful or if people want to iterate on it. And then as Mike said, if implementation experience is we don't need this, then it can be taken out at a later point in time. So I'm a plus one to merge. Justin, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so also a plus one to merge, and I wanted to just raise the often forgotten point that even in protocols where discovery is not strictly necessary, it can be a very useful dynamic optimization for different systems. So GNAP, for example, is written from the start as a protocol that does not need a discovery phase. However, we still define discovery documents and endpoints so that self-configuring clients can optimize their interconnection with the server based on the discovery information. Now, is that step strictly required? Absolutely not. GNAP is designed to allow for live negotiation and sort of a back and forth to kind of find the bits that you need as you go. However, there is no reason to disallow a client to optimize itself in this particular way. So I also support merging this.
Great. Thanks, Justin. Anyone else in the queue? Queue's empty. Are there any objections to merging the PR? Right. I'm not hearing any objections. Mike, it's been a while since the PR has been updated. Main's moved on their conflicts. Would you mind fixing the conflicts? And as soon as those are fixed, we can merge it in.
Okay, will do. Can't guarantee it will happen today, but yes, we'll fix the conflicts and then we can then just get approvals for a merge.
Okay, sounds good. And thank you for putting the PR together. The only other one that's out there is the sequence diagram, Mermaid respec sequence diagram stuff. I was just going to merge it. It converts the static PNG images to Mermaid diagrams where we can actually hand edit the user flow diagram. So that'll go in shortly as well. We just forgot to merge that in. All right, so those are the PRs. Back to the issues. Next issue up is, should we close question on whether or not we should use the presentation exchange spec as a query format? Let's see. I think Mike, you had asked a question. It was pending close. And then, we asked SecureKey if you were the only one that was interested in implementing presentation exchange. We said we would, you know, close the issue until there was more interest. And then there was also mentioned that VPR could potentially support it. So, Mike, why don't you cover your response here? And the concrete question here is, are you okay with closing this or should we keep it open?
Thank you. So my comment was a question just to see if any other implementers were interested in utilizing those other protocols, presentation exchange, DIDCOM, et cetera. From our position, we were happy to close it out if there was no immediate need. And then Dan Buckner jumped in and said, hey, we'd do that. and so I think that there are some, I think there is some community interest in other protocols, but I don't know how serious that is. Does Block actually intend to use this API with Presentation Exchange, and or are they just saying we like Presentation Exchange and we'll use it with whatever we're doing? Hard to say. So, but there were some other community members who were asking questions about it. So from my perspective, I'm still okay to say it looks like for now it's a VPR based API. But I believe we should reach out to, Dan. I don't know if Ori is actually going to implement PEX, Transmute rather. Anyway, we should just kind of ping and say PR is welcome, or we're going to close this until we get a PR. Like, I'm not sure what you do with a kind of a hanging issue like that.
Yeah, that's a good question, Mike. My suggestion is, PR is welcome, right? At this point, you know, Avast has, Secure Key Avast has signaled that they have interest. Block has signaled they have interest. And so the next thing is to put forward a PR on what those types of flows would look like if we have Presentation Exchange in here. Currently it is VPR based, like the whole API end to end is VPR based. I think the last time, well, I won't speak for Ori, but, so yeah, I think, you know, PR is welcome. Let's see what a proposal, would look like. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll just note that I believe that in the sample, in the linked issue, add Presentation Exchange example, we are using the VPR outer structure and then the inner structure, you know, because there's a type, it says type Presentation Exchange, and then the inner structure is the Presentation Exchange. So again, that's not a PR. It's just saying, here's how you could do it. I don't know if anyone is married to the idea of, oh yes, let's do that. So
is this the example you're talking about, Mike, where the interact service points
out? No, it's, okay. You'd have to click on the linked issue. It's actually part of the message.
This one, add Presentation Exchange.
Yeah.
Example. Ah, okay.
So if you click on that, you'll just see, there you go. So see, it says it's type Presentation Exchange credential query. And then in there you have, so it's kind of nested within, the VPR wrapper.
Got it.
But again, so there's multiple approaches here. Not a lot of active discussion on how Presentation Exchange would actually be leveraged. I know Presentation Exchange and Credential Manifest are part of the, you know, OpenID work, and, you know, they're being discussed in diff. So I just don't know that there's activity for this API to support it. And again, maybe there's a way to add it in later. I can't say.
Sure.
I don't know what other people's intentions are.
I mean, it certainly would be able to be put into the query type, right? The VPR type in credential query. That would be one way of doing integration. But you're right. I mean, I think what we need here is, again, this is kind of a PR's welcome item, right? If there are two companies that want to interop, or one company wants to propose how we would integrate Presentation Exchange, we should try to. It is certainly a very good, in the very worst case, it's a really great thought exercise to determine whether or not we can actually use different query mechanisms, different protocols over the VC API. So like Chappie's protocol agnostic, Chappie's message agnostic. And so the intent was the VC API was supposed to be message agnostic in some cases. And so can we actually achieve that or not in doing a Presentation Exchange using PEX and DIDCOM would be one way of trying to see if that's actually true. So Mike, is that the suggestion then? It's like, can we?
So I would, say PR's welcome. My, oh, sorry, that's my stove. My anxiety there is that the more protocols we want to enable makes it more difficult for interoperability and, you know, coverage. Clients suddenly have to expect that maybe it's a VPR-based protocol or a presentation exchange-based protocol, again, leading to, you know, as a client, what code do I need to write to talk to this server challenges? Anyway, so that's why I feel like I'd really like to narrow it down so we could get it working, but PR is welcome.
Okay, great. Are there any objections to suggesting people submit PRs for this so that the group can explore that space? Okay, we will say it's ready for, you know, it's not pending close, it's ready for PR. Come on, GitHub. Ready. There we go. All right, it's ready for PR, and we'll move on from that. Okay, next item up is linting and CI/CD from OAS. Or for OAS. Let's see. So I think the status here, I think my head to drop. The status here is basically, let me grab this, is we just need someone to do the work. So linting happens right now on the OAS files when the respec spec is rendered. So if the OAS is broken in any way, the spec will refuse to render, and you have to go to the console and look to see what OAS linting error was thrown. That said, it would be really good to have linting as just a part of the regular process that runs. We just need someone to do the work. Would there be any volunteers to do the work on OAS CI/CD linting? Should be a quick one. Mahmoud's volunteering. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mahmoud. Let's see. Discussed this on the yes, no, that's not the year. 2022. 517. Helicon. Volunteered to, is that as a GitHub action, Mahmoud? Thank you. Volunteered to add a GitHub action to lint the specification, the lint the OAS files, and new PRs are, well, just whatever. Yeah, lint the OAS files. Okay, all right, there we go. I'm going to assign it to you, Mahmoud, and then take Mike off of that, and that is up to you to raise a PR to do that. Thank you very much for volunteering to do that. Okay, and that's that one. Next item up, this one's going to be an interesting one. What happens when you delete a revocable credential? So this, and then here's issue 276. Oh, come on. All right, so Ori asks the question, specifically when you delete a revocable credential, what happens to the status bits? Anyone have any thoughts?
Yes.
Go ahead, Joe.
What component is this for?
The issuer, I would imagine. Can you even delete credentials? Do we have
that? By the way, this is, have that. I also added a similar note to 268. I wasn't up to speed with it when you asked if there were objections. I also don't know how that's supporting the breaking out of different components. But yeah, I mean, deleting a credential, like, it matters very much which component you're calling that API on. Like, can someone else delete a credential in the Holder app? That's very different than if you're deleting a credential that a verifier has already received. If you're deleting a credential that an issuer has issued, like, I really can't even understand the question without understanding which component it's related to.
That is an excellent point. Are there any assumptions that you could make that would allow you to answer that question?
Well, who's, I mean, I,
let's say it's the issuer. Is an issuer allowed, to delete a credential that they have issued? And if so, what happens to the status bits when that happens?
Where is the, so the issuer is calling it?
Yes.
And they're calling it on the Holder app?
No, they're calling it on their issuer,
right. So the issuer app is calling it on the issuer service.
Correct. Yes.
I don't know why the issuer service would be retaining credentials. So, I don't expect the issuer service to be a data storage of credentials. Other people might,
regulatory
but I think that's
reasons.
That's a good, well, the issuer app may need to hold credentials. The issuer service, I would not expect to.
Hmm.
Maybe people do. I think it's a fair debate. I think it's a good debate about should the issuer API enable automatic storage of VCs upon issuance, but I think it's probably not a good idea. I think the issuer app, that's the website that's interacting with the service, I think it's fair game for that issuer to store it.
All right, I'm taking notes. Any other thoughts on this item?
And while you're typing that up, Manu, Andy Miller, to your question, I think that is correct. I think that's what people mean by a revocable credential, is that there is a mechanism to check the status, which is in the credential status property.
Yeah. So if the credential status property points at a credential status service, the service might be holding the credential too. Or maybe what Ori was asking was, let's say the credential status service only actually maintains what method they've implemented, but let's say it's a method, but, which just keeps a bit flag and, for a credential. So deleting it might mean just deleting that flag, and it's no longer holding it.
That's right. I think if the delete, it could be interpreted as unrevoking, is what you're saying, if the component is the refresh status service. I'm sorry, not refresh. I mess that up a lot. The credential status property. The service that that points to.
Yeah.
So let me, I was half taking notes, half listening. Are we saying basically the whatever's handling the status bit for that credential needs to flip the bit? Or are we saying something else? Like if you delete a credential, it's automatically revoked. If you're holding it, the credential status, well, yeah.
I think Andy's supposition was that, hey, maybe Ori meant that the act of deleting is how you revoke. I think it comes back to what's the component that you're calling it on and who's calling it.
Okay, so we kind of need more information. Logan, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just don't understand. If you've deleted the credential, would it not matter what you're doing with the status bit? I guess it's just coming back to needing more information.
For example, if the credential is already in my wallet, then who gets to delete that except the holder, me?
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking there may be a more sophisticated use case that I'm just not picking up on.
Could it be something like invalidating a credential by rolling the issuer key? Would that be like effectively deleting it?
I guess it's not clear what the word delete means here either. I think we need more information to actually answer the question. Was not able to have a productive discussion around the question because it was not clear which component of the ecosystem was doing the deletion, having the deletion. Is also not clear what the delete HTTP verb meant for different aspects of the system. Delete on a credential in a holder wallet is semantically different than delete on a credential in an issuer app and or service. Group needs the component identified and the semantics around the delete operation defined in order to make progress on this issue. Does that sound like a reasonable next task?
One thing you might add is also the caller.
It means the component, the caller, the component, and the semantics around the delete operation. There we go.
Yeah, I think, by the way, just this is sort of a meta comment, but I think the lack of the caller component is also part of why I think we've struggled about authorization mechanisms.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Like, who gets to delete or who gets to create? That's the authorization question.
Yep, absolutely. I'm trying to figure out how we roll that into a future conversation. That feels like it would provide some clarity to a number of the questions that have been raised. All right. We have 2-ish minutes left in the call. Let's go ahead and end the call here. Are there any other comments, concerns, or things that we should be aware of over the next week before we meet again? All right. With that, have a wonderful rest of the week. We'll see you all here again next week, same time. Thanks all. Bye.